If you're visiting with us today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection basket. Pastor Otero would like to send you a letter of thanks for worshiping with us today. We're happy to report another 25 Bibles were received by Morgan Hill residents last Sunday as a result of our Bible distribution program. We will again be distributing Bibles in the community today after the fellowship luncheon. And if you're interested in participating today, please see Matt Pitagora. If you're not aware of it, Matt has devised a system that enables us to have access to the supply of Bibles and other aids 7 days a week, so you can distribute Bibles anytime it's convenient for you. Another note is that next Sunday afternoon, from the hours of 3 to 5, Pastor Otero will be instructing us further on those situations that might occur as the Bibles are being distributed. And we encourage you to come to that if you're in the program. if you're in the choir and you have practice at that time, there will be a tape made available for you. We'll be having our usual 2 p.m. service at Pacific Hills Manor today, and all other afternoon activities are canceled unless you are notified otherwise. Our scripture reading this month is from Psalm 28, verse 7, which is printed in your bulletin. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song will I praise him. Let us now begin our worship with the singing of hymn number 38, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Oh,
Let us continue in worship with the singing of hymn number 417, In Christ There Is No East or West. Stand now for the singing of hymn number 186, The Church's One Foundation.
God. together. Our Heavenly Father, once again, we open the doors at Bethel Baptist Church to welcome those in the community who are passing by, want to fellowship with us. And we are grateful for your people and for the opportunity to praise the name of Jesus. And Father, also for the opportunity to proclaim that in Christ Jesus, there is salvation from our sin. As a church body, Father, we are grateful that you are the head of the church, and that Jesus, being the head of the church, will keep his church till he come. Thank you, Father, for that promise. Thank you for the security that we have in Christ Jesus. And now, Father, as a church body here in Morgan Hill, we also have the responsibility to proclaim the gospel everywhere. And so by means of radio, at this very moment, people in the frequency of KKMC are able to listen to the gospel and to the church service and worship with us. And we know of many who are worshiping with us at this hour through the air, and we thank you, Father. We thank you those who, through the miracle of the internet, across the world, are listening to KKMC.com. And then our church service is on the internet. Father, thank you for those who listen. Some of them cannot go to their own local churches. Some of them perhaps are in hotels because they are working. And they have the ability to turn on their computer and listen, as I did when I was in the East Coast, listening to our own church. Father, what a blessing it is to be on the air, and what a responsibility for the reading of the Scripture, the choir praising you, and for me to preach the Word of God to thousands of people at this very hour. And Father, we are grateful that as a church body, we enjoy thy presence and enjoy the company of Jesus in our life, who is our strength in our life. And Father, from time to time, we become weak in our body, or maybe emotionally or mentally. And this morning, we pray for Donald McDowell, now in home, Father. I just talked a few minutes ago with the family, and Donald came back home because of his stomach and internal problems. And we pray that the doctors may find what is wrong with him. Lord, thank you that he's home. He's more comfortable in home than in a hospital. We pray for Ron Nichols. We saw that young man in wheelchairs coming to Christ and his throne in Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you strengthen him now in bed right here in the city, and that you will give him the comfort of your presence, and that his son may see his father trusting you even to the last moment of his life. Thank you, Father, for the encouragement that Ron is to all of us. And we pray for relief on his pain because of this cancer disease. Father, we have missionaries as a body of believers, and some of them are in Ukraine, like our brother Fred and Carol Lewis. Also, Carl and Ruth Knotts, who are in Huasca, Spain. Eusebio and Marisa Perez, who are now in Fuller, right here in America. I just talked to them, Lord, 2 days ago, and we pray that when they come to visit with us, our heart again will be lifted up because of the work that you have done through their life in Benalmadena in Spain. We pray for the South Valley Pregnancy Center, a house of refuge in the midst of crisis. We pray for Ruben Zagert and Lodi working with the Spanish people. We pray for the San Jose Sport Association that work with young people right here in the vicinity. And Father, for Martha Paretti, who just was with us, a missionary in the rehabilitation center in Argentina. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you have given us and having these people serving us and serving you, and going out into the world and present Christ. There is nothing more than Christ and Christ Jesus alone. Thank you, Lord, for given us the provision here in our church. And so that every Sunday we have a means whereby we can broadcast the gospel and keep our bills paid. Thank you, Lord, for the deacons who are so diligent in being sure that everything is done properly and in order. Thank you for their help to me, because without their help, the ministry cannot go. Thank you for your people who are given sacrificially in these special moments that we live in America. And Father, we don't want to close without praying for our president and our vice president and for our Congress, that in unity they may be strong so that we show the world that we have one America. And Father, we pray for the protection and wisdom in the life of our president as he has to make tough decisions in the days ahead. Bless us, bless the offering, bless the giver. Give us a gorgeous morning because we love you, Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. You may be seated. This is Pastor Otero speaking to you from behind the church at the moment of the offertory. And we'd like to talk to the community and explain the community that we are here to serve. Doesn't matter where you live, in Salinas, in Aptos, in Santa Cruz, you call me 408-778-1438, and we would like to respond to you and be an assistant to you in any spiritual matter that you have. And once in a while, if you have time, just drop by. We are at the corner of Tennant Avenue and Highway 101 here in Morgan Hill. Now remember, we are here to serve you and to proclaim the name of Jesus. Thank you for listening, and I hope you will enjoy the service as we walk in and the service is in progress. God bless you.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 714. Will you please stand now for the reading of God's Word, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. Even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for the great mercy that you have extended to us in sending our Lord Jesus Christ to bear our sins in his own body and to pay the penalty that was due us. We thank you for calling us out of darkness to bring us to Jesus. We are grateful for the teaching we receive from your word that is pure and nourishing. Thank you for having provided every spiritual blessing through Christ, and by your grace, the knowledge that we will not come into judgment and will not be put to shame. We pray that you will deliver us from evil and preserve us until the day of Jesus Christ. We pray for your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, that you would guide him and bless him as he comes to bring the pure milk of your word. Give us understanding that this word becomes part of us, that we may be obedient to your word. We pray for those listening who are yet in unbelief that through the word preached you would draw them to Christ, that they may know the joy of your salvation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated?
As you know, we are engaged in the study of the letter of 1 Peter, and today we reach the third paragraph, which in our Bible is covered by chapter 2, or identified in our Bibles as chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Once again, Peter wrote this letter not to a particular church. If you put one hand in chapter 2 and move your Bible just a little backwards to chapter 1, you will notice that in some Bibles, in the heading of in your page, they said the universal letter of Peter. And what that means by the universal letter of Peter is that this letter was not written to a particular church, like Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus, to the church of Corinth, and to the church of Thessalonica. When we read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, we read, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered through Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And so we learned then that this is written to all the churches. Well, by the way, all the letters in the Bible are written to all the churches, but this in particular makes it easy to understand because Peter said, to all of you who are everywhere. And that was the characteristic of the Apostle Peter and is the characteristic of the church. A letter may identify to a particular church or may not identify with a particular church, but they're all the Word of God and they're all related to us. Once again, I want to make this emphasis very clear that according to 1 Peter in chapter 5, the apostle do not call himself a head elder or the chief elder. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 1, when he writes the letter, and one day we get to that paragraph to study, the apostle says, the elders, plural, which are among you, I exhort. So it looks like we call today a pastoral conference. And he's talking to pastors. He said, to the pastors, I'm talking to you and exhort you. And then he identifies himself and he says, who am also an elder and a witness. And so Peter did not assume himself the position of a head elder, rather clearly says, I am just one with you. All right, on the first paragraph, the apostle talked about hope. Remember, that was chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. He talks about hope, and he identified that hope by saying that we are living stones in the house of God. In the second paragraph, he challenged us in verse 16 and 17 of chapter 1 by saying, because God is holy, you should be holy. And that was not an option. That was a real challenge for all of us. It is not an option to be holy as God is holy. It is a requirement for all of us to check our life and to sharp our life as we grow in the Lord and receive grace from Him, that we polish in our life those things that we know do not belong to us, and then we become imitators of God. Now we come to the third paragraph, and I entitle this paragraph, Walking in Harmony. And the reason why I choose those words, walking in harmony, is this. Peter had the first thought in the paragraph. Peter tell us that we are children in the same family, verses 1 to 3. He talks about that we are children of God and belong to the same family. Then he makes a metaphorical picture, verses 4 to 8, and he says, we are stones in the same building. Not in different building, but in the same building. And then in verses 5 and 9, he says, we are priests in the same temple, working on the same temple. And then he finalized his thought in verses 9 and in verse 10, and he said, we are citizens of the same nation we belong to. Certainly, he's not talking about the local church, for sure. He's talking about the universal church of God. Some people call that the invisible church of God. And I have to say, this paragraph emphasizes the fact that we belong to the church of God, that universal church of God, that when Christ saved you and you became aware of your salvation and believe in Him, you are part of that church who is indivisible and who never ceased to be and will be for eternity. And he talks about that in detail here. Let's see. We are children in the same family, verses 1 to 3. And then he said in verse 1 that we must clean up our act. Look at what he says. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile
and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. Now, those words, laying aside, can be also translated having put away. Put away from your life malice. Now, malice is a very strong word in the original. Medical profession is familiar with that word because you go for a cancer examination and your thinking is, I hope that after the doctor finished, he will not say that I have a malignant cancer. That's the word, malignant. And malice is something that is so malignant they will kill you. It's just the words. You're putting aside that. When I saw that, and when I reviewed that word in the original, I said, boy, the heart, if we are not saved, if God do not touch our heart, who can see God? Our heart is malignant. We are born with a malignant heart. I'm not insulting anybody. I'm just telling you how deep is sin in our life and how grateful we are that we know God. And that He is the only doctor that can cure the malignant heart that you and I have. And then he said, but also guile, and guile is deceit. And some Bibles translate that word correctly, and deceit. And then he said, put away guile, these deceits need to be put away, move away. And evil speaking is a word, slander somebody, to talk about somebody in that way. We as Christians, we are children of the same family, and we should put aside all of these things that the sick heart really have. The heart that you and I were born have these elements on it, and we Christians should put that aside. And this was taught to people of the first century. That teaches me one thing, that mankind doesn't change. We are all the same. Now, verse 2 is a great verse. We must enjoy the same nourishment. We must enjoy the same nourishment. And let's find out what it is. Verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, see, that ye may grow thereby. We as Christians must desire the same nourishment. Yes, you can read the newspaper and you can learn about the situation in the world. You can read a book and enjoy a great lesson and perhaps a great experience of the writer. But if you want to grow in the Lord, I think we have no doubt about it. And here is what it is. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. And even though you know what I'm going to say next, I'd like to review this for you because you need to know how important is the word. One of the reasons that we in Bethel Baptist Church distribute Bibles in our neighborhood is because I believe with all my heart that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And let me show you something. Now, the Word of God has life. Let's go to Luke Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 11. Luke Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 11. The Word of God, the reason why the apostle said we all must have the same nourishment so that we grow strong in the Lord, the Word of God has life. Look at verse 11 in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 8. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Now, you know that a seed has life. You know that. A seed has life. And so the Word of God has life. And that's why the Apostle Peter said that we must desire the nourishment of the Word of God. Not only the Word of God has a life in itself, but also gives life to people. Let's go to John Gospel in chapter 6 and in verse 63. John Gospel chapter 6 and verse 63. And you will see that not only the Word of God has life, it is a seed, also the Word of God gives life. Jesus said in John 6, in John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profit nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are a spirit, and they are what? Life. The Word of God are life. And so when we read the Word of God has the ability to have life in itself and also to produce life. When God at His pleasure planted that Word in your heart, it's going to come up. And nobody will stop it, because the Spirit of God will bring it about. So the Word of God has life, the Word of God gives life, and the Word of God nourish life. If you want to grow strong in the Lord, and you are 12 years old and 13 years old, and you want to be a strong man and a strong woman in the Lord, you better embed your life in the Word of God, because the Word of God, the Word of God nourish life. Let's go to 1 John, to the right in your Bible, in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 14. And look what the apostle has to say with respect to the nourishment of the Word of God. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong. Now, why are these people strong? Look at the next sentence. And the Word of God abideth in you. You see, when you read the Word of God and you keep that Word of God flesh, and you guide your life by the Word of God, you are strong. Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter what nationality are you. Doesn't matter what race you belong to. When you read the Word of God and believe the Word of God and keep the Word of God, you become strong. And that's why the apostle said, let's walk in harmony. And the best harmony is this. We are children in the same family. Let us all eat the same food. Now, I don't know today, but we were only two in my house. And my mother will put the breakfast and will put the luncheon and the dinner. And my father has one. My father likes one thing. My brother likes one thing, and I like the other. But Mama said, in this house, everybody eats what I put in the table. See? And if one of these boys say no or call the dog like I did to pass the food to the dog, then children don't do that. But I did it. And if you do that, then Mama will help you to understand. In this house, we all eat the same. And I don't want to spank anybody, but in this house, in Bethel Baptist Church, we all eat from the Word of God. You come to Sunday school, and you're going to have a lesson in the Word of God. You come in the morning service, and you're going to have a lesson in the Word of God. You come in the afternoon, you're going to have a lesson in the Word of God. You come in the evening, and you will have a lesson in the Word of God. And I never tire to teach the Word of God, but I just told Russell in the parking lot today, we are learning every day. It doesn't matter how many times you preach the same sermon, you are learning every day. This is the living Word of God. And so we are children in the same family because we are nourished on the same food. I can see when you grow up in a church that doesn't make the Word of God your food, then will cause problems. And even though we call ourselves Christians, we have different levels of understanding and walk because you don't have the same nourishment. Now, number two, not only we are children in the same family, we have the same nourishment, but also going back to 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter teaches us that we are stones in the same building, stones in the same temple. And Peter believed that Jesus was that cornerstone. Peter never believed that he was the cornerstone. He believed that Jesus was. Look at with me, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. To whom, coming as unto a living stone, the hollow indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. That's how Peter called Jesus. He was a chosen stone and precious in the hands of God. And so Peter believed that Jesus was the cornerstone. But also Peter believed that we are one spiritual house. Look at in verse 5. We also, now after he put the cornerstone, he says, we also as lively stones, or stones who are alive, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, let me go back to chapter 1 in verse 1, because Peter wrote this letter to people living in five different provinces. Look at to whom he wrote. He said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, I'm reading 1 Peter 1:1, to the strangers is covered through Pontus, that's one, Galatia, two, Cappadocia, three, Asia, four, and Bithynia, five. He wrote this letter to people living in five different provinces, yet they are one house. Peter did not make any distinction between Bithynia and Galatia. They are only one house. And so he says, we are lively stones and are built upon a spiritual house. See, Peter believed that we must follow the plans of God. Look at verse 6, verse 7, and verse 8. Wherefore also, going back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believe on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. I understand the hassle of people when Christmas comes, and I hope this year will not be so much, but when Christmas comes in America, any public place that display a manger is in trouble. They don't want nothing to do with that. And so why? The reason, because Jesus is precious only to the believer. To the unbeliever, it means nothing. To the unbeliever, it's just a religion. But to us, he is precious. Verse 7 said, unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be dissolved, the stone which the builder dissolved, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone, verse 8, of a stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. And so the church, the body of Christ and the whole universe has only one foundation and one builder, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why in every Sunday school lesson, we have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. In every page of the Bible, we have the work or the blessings or whatever, all about Jesus. We're not talking about our ministry. We're talking about Jesus' ministry. When a missionary comes to give a report, we don't want to hear what the missionary did. We want to hear what Jesus did through him and through his assistance. It's God's territory and it's God's building, and this is beautiful. And God is doing the work. There is an example of this in the Old Testament. And 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7. So I want to turn over there to 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse 7. Just to let you know that we must follow God's plan when we work in the house of God. Now, you know that Solomon built the first temple in Jerusalem. David was not allowed to build the temple, but David gave all the money and all the materials, and all the kingdoms around were so scared about Israel that it was very, very easy to make peace with Solomon. And then in verse 7 of 1 Kings chapter 6, the Bible gives us an idea. What were the plans that they followed? The Bible says, and the house, when it was in building, was built of a stone made ready before it was brought thither. See that? So that there was neither hammer, no axle, no any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. A tremendous spiritual lesson in this verse. But I want to make the point both. The physical part is this. There was a plan. There was a drawing of all this majestic building. Yesterday I listened carefully and C-SPAN I think the architect who built the towers, the twin towers that were destroyed, died. It was a Japanese architect who built the towers. And the American architect, Kreisinger, he was commenting on the difficulty of building the same. And he was saying that there were strict plans, and everything was prefab, made in a shop. Because the building was unusually tall, 1,362 feet high, the building. And so therefore, you cannot build of that kind. You have to take it from the shop and move it up and hook it in and bolt it together. And so he said it was an engineering masterpiece of the company, a German company built it, who built it and put it together to the very, very end. And he said the key was that in every corner there was a matching area where there was a gap about easy half inch so the building can move. As you know, those buildings move 3 feet on the hour, swing back and forth 3 feet because they were so tall. And he said there was a half foot opening so the building can close and up and close and up. And when they put the last pieces, the welders and the people were right hanging on the air, and everything was done so perfect that in a few hours there was hooked and clicked together. Perfect engineering, perfect drawings. And look at what Solomon did. Did all the drawings, and the people will cut by hand those stones just to fit. And when they brought it in, I'm sure they have a code, A1, A2, A3, or whatever. And they put it according to the plans, and everything fit together. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the way the church of God is built. You and I do nothing to be part of the church. You and I are in a stone cut by the Lord Jesus and fit into the building by his precious blood on Calvary cross. There is nothing that you and I can do. There is nothing that you and I can provide. There is nothing that you and I can contribute to the building except that we were taken as a rough stone and cut in pieces by Jesus and place in the building so that we can fit the building of our Lord. He is the architect and he's the masterpiece. And so he said, we are the stones of the same building. There is no one person more valuable than the other. I have the responsibility to be your teacher and your pastor, but that's all. I'm just equal with you. I'm the same quality of a stone. I need to be brought to pieces. I need to be brought to conviction, and I need to be brought to the blood of Christ to believe it and be saved just like you. Because we were cut by Jesus and placed in that building. So there is no glory in any one of us. The glory is on the Lord. Number three, not only we are children in the same family, so we eat the same food so that we can have the same energy. We are stones in the same building so that we can fit together in our life. Then we are priests in the same temple. priests in the same temple. Let me show it to you. In verse 5, they said, we also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. You see that? A holy priesthood. Now look in verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I want to make a clear statement. In the Old Testament, God's people had a priesthood. In the Old Testament, that's what's so important to understand the Old Testament from the New Testament point of view. Otherwise, we make a mess. In the Old Testament, God's people had a priesthood. And the first time it's mentioned in the Bible is in the second book of the Bible, in the book of Exodus, in chapter 28. You will look in chapter 28 of the book of Exodus, and in verse 1, and here are the instructions given by God to Moses to present the office of a priesthood. And God said to Moses, and take unto thee, I'm reading Exodus 28:1, Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And that was the beginning. And so the Old Testament people had a priesthood. Now, what's the difference in the New Testament? In the New Testament, God's people are a priesthood. We do not have a priest. We are the priest. That's a big difference. Now, let me show it to you. Not only the scripture that I read for you, but if you go to the last book of the Bible in Revelation, in chapter 1, and I think I mark it here is in verse 6, Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. And have made us, Jesus, have made us what? Kings and priests. That's why we do not go to a church to ask the pastor to receive my prayer so that he can bring that prayer to God. You always need a priest before God. Always. You are the priest. And who is your high priest? You remember the order after Exodus 28, 29, Exodus 30. You studied that in Sunday school. I'm very sure if I mention, come back to you. Remember the order? The high priest will go once a year to the Holy of Holies and bring the prayer of God's people. So you bring your prayers to the priest. The priest bring the prayer to the high priest. And the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies. Who is our high priest? No, Peter. Jesus. Let me show it to you. Hebrews chapter 9. No, I don't have too much time, but I like to read this. We'll be seen not to read this scripture. Hebrews chapter 9. He is a high priest, and we are priests. And if you have a need, you just pray, and that's why you close your prayer in the name of Jesus. Not because it's a magic name. It is because it's the name of a high priest. Where is he? He's sitting, said the Bible, at the right hand of God. And what is he doing? Romans 8:34 said, he's interceding for us. Wow. Wow. Sometimes we are depressed. I got depressed. Amazing enough. I thought there was depressed proof. The Lord gave me some trials so that I can show that I'm no superman or anything. I got depressed like anybody else. But let's lift up our heart. Let's lift up our heart. We have a high priest. Now look at Hebrews 9. Then verily the first covenant, that's the Old Testament, had also ordinance of a divine service and worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had a golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. and over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost, these signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and drivers washing and carnal ordinance imposed on them until the time of Reformation. But listen to this one. But Christ, you know that great, verse 11? But Christ, being come, what kind of a priest is? High priest. High priest. Wow. Being a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not in this building. I never forgot the day I hardly can speak English. You think I have accent now? I had no English then, in 1965. And I went to an American church. And side by side was an Italian fellow. Remember, Mommy? An Italian fellow. He went to the Catholic church first with his wife. And then to please his wife, he came to the Baptist church that we were in Oakland. And he looked at me, he said, "You look Italian to me." Yes, and we started talking in Italian. And he said, "Why do you come to this church?" I said, "Read Hebrews 9, and you find the answer." And he went home and read Hebrews 9. He asked his wife to get a Roman Catholic Bible and read Hebrews 9. He cannot understand why do we have a priesthood in the Catholic Church and a high priest in Rome when God has made it all. So he went to the priest, and the priest sent him to the bishop, and the bishop to the district, I don't know where, and he got nowhere until God got his car. And he found the Lord. That was my first soul that I went in America. I remember a few Sundays after, he said, "I got it. Jesus is everything." That's right. That's right. Jesus, everything. So we are priests in the same temple. You are a priest. I'm a priest. I'm not a high priest. Wait a minute. I'm not a high priest. Jesus is the high priest. We have a prayer meeting. We all pray on the same level. We all pray on the same level. Finally, not only we are children in the same family, not only we are stones in the same building, not only we are priests in the same temple, but we are citizens of the same nation. Look at in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. A holy nation. See? We are a chosen generation. That means God handpicked you. My professor of theology used to say, I remember we were only 13 in the doctor class and for graduation, and he said, even though I looked to Gabriel, and I can't believe it, that God handpicked him, but he did. And he did. He handpicked me. And he handpicked my professor, Dr. Schaefer. And he said, and here I am from a different part of the world, and he handpicked me. And that's what they say, chosen generation. You don't have to study Calvin to understand that. You just believe God. Calvin and Augustine has nothing to do with this. God does. Remember how was our heart malignant? And God took that malignant heart and put the blood of Christ and became holy. No, fantastic? Fantastic. We are a chosen generation. We are a holy nation. Verse 9. We are a holy nation, a nation separated to God. See? And we are the people of God. Look at verse 10. Which in time past were not a people. You know what that means? Yeah, you were a human being. You say, what do you mean? We're not a people. You were not the people of God. You may be religious. You may be Baptist, you may be Pentecostal, you may be Catholic, Presbyterian, Lutheran, you may be religion, but you were not the people of God until the chosen power of God came into your life, revived your heart, and you understood that Jesus Christ died for your sin. Wow! Wow! We are the people of God. We are the people of God. In general, it's not talking about one tiny little tiny local church. It's talking about the universal church of God. Around the world, we are the people of God. Now we are the people of God. This is it. We must walk in harmony. We must walk in harmony. And Peter is saying to these people scattered in the five provinces at that time, he's saying to them, to the whole nations of people around the world, we must walk in harmony because we eat the same food, the Bible. We are just a part of the same building, the church of God. We are priests in the same temple, and we are citizens of the same nation. We must walk in harmony and not hurt each other. I read Saint Augustine. Some people call Saint Augustine. He never called himself Saint Augustine. He was a great preacher. Ambrosio, Augustine. These are people from the 400, 350. And when you read them in the Latin that they wrote, it comes alive. This is what Saint Augustine wrote to the church. The church was in a mess. It was already dividing, and they started making little things. And he said this. In essentials, unity. In essentials, unity. In all non-essentials, liberty. For example, non-essentials. I have a tie and a suit. And my brother with Mayo doesn't have a tie and a suit. Liberty. Liberty. In all things, love. He got it. He got it. My brother said, love the brethren. That's it. All right? We cannot kill each other. We have to love the brethren. So I love you, you love me, and we love others who maybe do not understand the gospel in the way we do, and we try through love to share with them the truth that we know. The truth that we know. In essential unity. If somebody said, can you live with the Pope in front of you? No. Because that will take the place of Jesus. That's essential. Can you live by having a system in the church where you don't have to teach the Bible, and you teach other books and so on? No, because then I change the food and you become sick. You know, when you are professionally, somebody asked me a question about what do we eat as a professional soccer player and why you do this and the other. We all have to eat the same food, and we all have to weigh almost the same weight. It's very rigorous when you are professional, what you eat and what you do. Except with my mama, Italian, they said, you need some pasta. Didn't she give you the pasta? An essential unity. A non-essential liberty. You want to have shoes, white, yellow, whatever, it's fine. It looks funny, but it's fine. A non-essential liberty. In all things, love. May God seal that in our heart. And empower us so that Morgan Hill will receive your love by going door by door and saying, here we are from Bethel Baptist Church. We want you to know God. And we want you to know the Savior, Jesus Christ. And we give you this Bible, who is the food that will provide that to you. And if the door is shut, he said, don't worry, we pray for you. And you go to the next place. On and on and on. Let's get together. Let's get on. This city must know that there is a Savior, and that the name of that Savior is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for the exhortation of Peter. Sometimes, Lord, we waste time by arguing rather than uniting our efforts and being used as living stones in the holy temple of God. Give us direction, Father. Give us encouragement and help us to understand our brother and our sister. Help us to keep the essentials straight and clean. And help us to work together in love, that the people may know that there is a Savior whose name is Jesus, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair,
praying for you and closing two things. After this, we have the wonderful luncheon and fellowship. And if you're a guest, you are invited to stay with us. There's plenty of food always for all of us to participate. The deacons will eat as fast as you can and then meet on the conference room. We have to define what are we going to do with our money in certain areas. And there is not trouble. It's just a blessing. And we have to discern wisely where to invest and do things. And so our brother Jack and our brother Ken will talk to us. And then after, brother Plika is going to preach in Pacific Hill, and I hope you go and back him up. And now that I see brother Pereira, I need you next Sunday afternoon to record some 2 hours they're going to do for things. So we'll talk later. Yes, sir. Okay. And I just want to show you, Marta Peretti brought these from Argentina and was crashed in Mexico in a plane. Then she rebuilt it, and some of the ladies who came here and worked with her in the room, so she rebuilt it, and then the glass crashed again, so she had to take it all apart and repair all the damages. The ladies that came here and worked with the leaves and so on, and then painted on the top, knows what these were, but she did this, and in Mexico, for us, we put a sign in Mexico. She brought this in pieces, and then she framed it. She framed it just like this. We took it apart in Mexico. We put the sign, and then she thought they can go in the plane. But you know, in the plane, you cannot carry something with glass. So they pack it, but they pack it wrong. But she repaired it, and this is a gift to the church. From her hands to remember that there are people in the rehabilitation center. They do this kind of job, and then they sell it later on. They can be useful in life. In the way that she taught to us, there were three people very interested in the gospel on 40. So that I told Martha, it's almost 10%. That's very, very good. But you can look on it later on and enjoy Don't break it. We're going to put it in the church over there as it remembers. Let us stand for prayer. Lord, we have learned that we must be aware of who we are. And Peter illustrated for us all what we are. All of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ are living stones in the house of God. We must take the same food thy word, and we must be proud to be citizens of a holy nation because we have been chosen to do so. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement. Help us to revive our energies so that we become a living witness in the city of Morgan Hill. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Amen.